Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen. Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Do any of you watch the BBC show Call the Midwife? Have you seen that? I just recently started watching this show and was enchanted the other night by one of the smaller vignettes. You know how they always have a main theme running through the show and then a smaller subplot. And in this one, we meet two people, Ted and Winnie, who are come together in a second marriage for each of them. Over the course of the show, we learn that Winnie's husband had left her and their three children, and she worked in a paper shop to support them. Ted would come into the paper shop occasionally, and then over time began coming in more regularly to see Winnie. Fairly soon, he falls in love with her, he proposes, and later, much later in the show, we learn that she accepted the proposal only because she felt that she needed some help taking care of her three children. But when we meet them in the maternity clinic that the Anglican nuns in Southeast London run, and Ted is absolutely bouncing off the walls with excitement, because he had no children from his first marriage and was just elated to have the opportunity to be a father. As we watch Ted getting more and more exuberant and going out and coming home with a huge stack of books, Winnie is distant and withdrawn at best. And at first, as you're observing this, you think perhaps it's because pregnancy is not the most fun thing in the planet and she's just not feeling well. Or perhaps there's anxiety about having a fourth child. But by the time that she goes to deliver the child, when the midwives are called, she begins actively wailing, "I can't have this baby, I can't have this baby." Ted is, needless to say, a bit upset, and he goes outside to have a cigarette. And as the midwives are working with Winnie, they say, what are your concerns? What are your worries? Of course you can. You've given birth three times. You know you can have this baby. And she blurts out, "I'm afraid it will be black." Very early on in her relationship with Ted, shortly after they were married, we learn that she felt bored and discontented in the marriage. And she went out to a pub one night and had a few too many pints and went home with somebody. And it's heartbreaking. She's, you know, sobbing in the midst of labor. "It was only one night. It was only one night. I now realize how much Ted loves me, how kind and wonderful he is to me and my children. I'm so worried that this baby will be black." Of course, there's some drama around the birth, but when the baby is finally born, it is a beautiful little black baby. And she turns her head to one side and tears stream down her face. And it seems like time stands still. The doctor goes out to tell Ted that he has a healthy son. And we're all left wondering, what will happen when he comes in? Finally, Winifred holds the baby for the first time. Ted comes in and he is dispensing, my son, let me see my son. And the second he lays eyes on the baby, I held my breath. Would he storm out? Would he hit her? Would he harm the baby? What was gonna happen? He paused for about 15 seconds, looked at his wife, looked at the baby, and then says, "May I please hold my son?" She hands the baby to him. And in this time when he's holding the baby, you see him caress the tiny fingers, stick his pinky in the baby's grasp, and very lovingly say, "I sure know I don't know much about babies, but this is the most beautiful baby in the world." turns to his wife and says, Winnie, what have you named him? And she's, needless to say, stunned. She says, oh, my love, why don't you name him? And then he says, he should have the name Edward, my family name. That kind of love, that tiny little seed of love that was sown in Winnie's life the first day that he came into the shop, that she might not have even been aware of it landing in her life, ultimately took root and exploded with an expansiveness that not only changed her life and the life of that beautiful baby Ted, but the lives of the nuns who witnessed the birth. We then see later in the show Ted taking his son to the clinic for the postnatal checkup, and he's introducing his son to everyone, and you can see all the ladies who are there with their babies looking at him, looking at the baby, and then smiling because his joy and his love is so contagious. The questions, the accusations, the blame, the judgment, the guilt, the shame, everything that may have been wrapped up in the birth of this little baby evaporates with the joy and the expansive love of this father. When Jesus is telling us the parables this morning, it can be very easy to domesticate them as just another agrarian parable about sowers and seeds. But what Jesus is trying to teach us is that when that seed of God's love is planted in your life, it will grow explosively and expansively in ways that not only change you, but the world around you. Here on Cape Cod, we don't see many mustard shrubs here, but we do see plenty of fried mighty in the marshes. We do see plenty of English ivy in our gardens that has the capacity to grow in anything and to grow abundantly, expansively. The first part of this parable that Jesus tells is an important corollary to the mustard seed. When he talks about the farmer who goes out and scatters the seed, you'll note that we don't get a lot more detail other than he scatters the seed and then goes to bed. I shared with our Thursday morning Bible study that my favorite commentary I read this week said, the biggest point I get from the parables this week is that the most important thing that I could do to further the kingdom of heaven is to take a nap. I love that. I'm sure Bishop Allen is thinking, yeah. When the farmer sows the seed, he lets it be. He's not ripping the plants up and saying, oh, look, the roots are a half an inch bigger today, and then planting it down. He's not pulling it up and saying, I wonder why this plant is growing like this, and then putting it back down. He scatters the seed, and then he lets it be. He allows that seed of love and gentility and kindness and compassion to grow by the power of the Spirit. It can be so difficult for us as human beings to simply accept that whatever that point of guilt or shame or sorrow that you have in your own life, whatever that might be, God has already sown that seed of love in your life and is looking down at you and saying, this is the most beautiful child in the world. You don't need to rip that love up by the roots and say, well, why would God love me? Well, what if I can't forgive? The great Celtic theologian John O'Donohue says, we need to learn to stop scratching at the clay of our souls. This morning, Jesus tells us, God has planted that seed of love deep in each of our hearts. it will grow abundantly and expansively. If you can open yourself to it and simply let it be. And then it has the power to change you and to change anybody that comes into contact with you. I hope this week as you pray with these lessons and as you think about love as tiny as a mustard seed, that you can connect to those places in your life where that love of God can burst forth with such incredible joy and expansiveness.